At this time, I would invite you now for our New Testament reading and study in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, where we'll be looking at verses 1 through 3 together this morning. God's Word says to us this morning, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth." Let's pray and ask God's blessing. Our Holy Father, we thank you this morning that you have given us these instructions. And Father, at the first reading, they seem so simple and straightforward, and they are. And yet you know our foolish hearts, O God, how easy it is for us to stray and to wander and to resist and to be stubborn. And so how we ask this morning for the precious outpouring of your Spirit, which can come like gentle rains and soften the heart and make it ready for the seed of your word to be implanted. Please, O Father, grant us this blessing that we might truly hear, heed, and bear the proper fruit that you desire as we do so. For we ask it this morning in Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, truly today we have a real children's sermon. As Paul wrote this letter to the saints at Ephesus, and he fully intended it to be read there among the assembled church, this portion of his letter makes it clear that children are to be in the worship of God, that they're to be there listening to God's Word as it's preached, read, and proclaimed. Children are to be with their parents as they all together as a family listen to God through His Word. So it might be more accurate to say that every sermon should be a children's sermon. But this one is especially so this morning. And yet even in saying that, I want to make it very clear that this is one for all ages, as we're going to see. For none of us outgrow the fifth commandment. And if you need a case study, a short case study in that, in the list of heinous sins that we see in the New Testament, such as at the end of Romans chapter 1 or in 2 Timothy chapter 3, as Paul there in those passages is listing the heinous sins that men commit against God and all of their wickedness, in both of those lists are found the sins, the sin of disobedience to parents. And it's obvious that these lists are more than children's sins. In other words, these are adults committing these sins, and the adults can commit the sin of disobedience to parents as well. So this commandment is not only for pre-teenagers, it's for all of us this morning. So as children of God, children of parents, be they younger or older, this message is for all of us. But it's especially true for the children. So children, this morning, I want you to be listening to me. God's speaking to you through me. And I want you to hear what He has to say. Did you hear in Proverbs what it says that you are to do with your mommy and daddy's words? You're to do with those words what you're to do with the word that you're hearing this morning. You're to bind them around your neck like a necklace. You're to write them on your heart. They're to be on your fingertips. Sometimes I see you young people writing, you know, a little note on the back of your hand or the palm of your hand so you won't forget something. That's okay. God says that's the way His Word and your parents' Word is to be to you today. And so let's look carefully at what these verses say to us. And what we want to do first of all is just to reestablish the basic precept of this commandment. Children, in other words, this is like ABC, the basics of the commandment. What is God saying to us here? What does it mean when He says, "Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right"? What does it mean to honor them? Here's what you need to have. First is this. You need to have a reverence for the office. A reverence for the office. Children, when you see a police officer, I think it gets your attention more than just anyone else walking along the street. You see the shiny badge and the uniform and the gun there on the policeman's sign. Maybe you've noticed that your parents pay a special attention to police officers, especially when they're driving their cars and they see one on the side of the road. Have you ever noticed your mom and dad maybe check their speed and probably start slowing down just a bit as they go by that police officer? Well, you do that because that officer carries a weight. He has the respect that's due to him as he enforces the law of our society. Well, your mom and dad don't wear special parenting uniforms. They don't have a badge, and certainly they don't carry around a gun. Although they might use something else to get your attention, don't they? Perhaps a rod of discipline in some form or another. What God wants you to know this morning is that just like you show respect for a police officer, you're to show that type of fear, that type of respect for your parents. Romans 12 tells us that Christians are to expect that they have earthly fathers that discipline them, that train them. And we are to respect our parents as they do so. And God has ordained this office of parents the same way as He's ordained there to be kings and rulers or presidents or mayors or police officers. He's put those authorities in their place, and He's put parents to be authorities, the first authorities that you come to know and respect and love in your life. The fifth commandment uses the word honor, and it's quoted here in verse 2. And that word means to give them glory. It's the word we get glory from. Give glory to your father and to your mother. It means weighty or heavy. You think about all adults, perhaps, that they should have your respect, but even more so when it comes to your own mother and to your own father. Some of us got to enjoy being at the armory on Friday night. And Sergeant Thoman didn't have his uniform on, although he was acting a little bit like a drill sergeant with us, running us through calisthenics. But if we'd been there at the armory Friday night, Sergeant Thoman had been there, and then through those doors, all of a sudden, a general had walked into the building, I bet you would have seen Sergeant Thoman snap to respect and give that general the honor that Mr. Thoman has learned to give those in authority over him in the army. You're to have that same type of respect for your parents. In Leviticus chapter 19, God tells His people to be holy. As He's telling them to be holy, the first way that He gives them on that list of being holy, found in verse 3, He says, "Every one of you shall reverence his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God." So how do you show this reverence? If you want to honor your parents and have respect for this office that they have over you, how do you do that? Well, you show respect with your words. You show respect with your words. I grew up in North Carolina, down south. And it was drilled into my mind as a child growing up in the South that there was really only one way that you answered an adult. If it was a man or your father, you said, "Yes, sir," or "No, sir." And if it was your mother or another woman, you said, "Yes, ma'am," or "No, ma'am." And if you didn't do that, you learned very quickly there were consequences for not answering in that form. We may not use that same address, but it would be important for us to do so. What do you call your father and your mother? Probably in your home, it's dad or mom. And so when we are being asked by our parents to do something, we should show respect to them. Just like, again, the soldier would do to the general in the army, so we should do with our own words, yes, Dad, or no, Dad, yes, Mom, or no, Mom. Son, would you go out and rake the lawn, please? We don't say, yeah, or sure, or later, or okay, but yes, Dad. Very simple thing to do, but it shows respect with your words. Daughter, would you dry the dishes? Not no, not uh-huh, or do I have to? But yes, Mom. Yes, Mom. That tells us parents something, does it not? Parents, your home is your child's training ground. If your child does not learn respect for authority at your feet, they will not show it in society as they are supposed to as God's children. When you read the catechism answers on this particular commandment, the fifth commandment, it applies this commandment beyond the family into all the relationships where we have, as it calls it there, superiors and inferiors, or people who are over us, such as employers or magistrates or other people in society, teachers that are over us, they are to show and we are to show respect to those authorities. And where that is learned is in the home. If you learn it in the home, it will translate into society. So let us teach our children to say, yes, Dad, or yes, Mom. And then they'll learn to say, yes, Mr. Jones, or yes, sir, Mr. Boss, or yes, officer, when they get stopped for speeding. Another thing that we can really look at, according to God's Word, if we want to show this reverence for the office, it's not only examine our speech, the words we use, but our gestures. Recognize your gestures. We can show our love and respect by the way that we act when given a command or when we're asked to do something, children. Sighs, rolling our eyes, looks of anger, huffs and puffs, sighs and moans, talking under our breath, going and telling our friends how terrible we have it. All of that is forbidden by this commandment. One of the verses on child rearing that's probably not used in most manuals, even Christian one, is found in Proverbs 30, verse 17. The eye that mocks the father and scorns the mother. Think about the gesture there. The eye that mocks the father or scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. See, that's the opposite side of the coin that we see here. If you don't obey your parents and you don't give them a dutiful obedience, God is threatening the shortening of your life, just as He here promises that if you will obey your parents and do as you're told, He will bless your life with longevity. In other words, a disobedient child will fall into trouble. And as we get older, we start maybe thinking we outgrow these commands. I'm going to get to that in a minute. But we never outgrow this duty to show respect with our gestures to our parents. Remember what Solomon, the king of Israel, did when Bathsheba, his mother, wanted to come see him? You might have thought that Solomon, as he sees his mother coming into the courtroom, would expect her, or maybe he would even think he would demand her to bow before him. He's the king, after all, of the nation. But what did he do? The scriptures tell us, when she entered into his throne room, he got off his throne, bowed low before her, and then had a throne set up next to his so they could talk. She was the Queen Mother, after all. And it instructs us that it doesn't matter how old we get or our parents get, we need to be showing them with respect and a good response with our attitude and with our manners. And again, parents, if you don't help your child with this, if you don't hold up the mirror to them at times when they're not showing you the respect that you deserve rightfully as God instructs you, you are sowing seeds of rebellion into your own child's heart. And that's a scary thing to do. Call them to respect your authority with their gestures. That might not get to their heart, but only God can change their heart. You can still expect things as they live in your home. And then note your response at your parents' commands. What is your response when your parents command you to do something? Colossians 3:20 says this: "Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." I want you to notice, well-pleasing to the Lord. Do you remember what the Father said of His Son as He watched Jesus walk on the face of this earth, suffering for us, going to the cross for us? He opened up heaven on more than one occasion, and He says, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased," as He saw His Son's obedience. And that truly is your goal, child. It's to not just do grudgingly what mom or dad tells you, but to get to the point in your life where you can see the wisdom of a willful and glad obedience. And that you become, in your parents' life, a true source of joy. Are you? In your parents' life, are you a source of joy and encouragement to them? You must listen then to their instructions. You know the power of that passage we read back in Proverbs chapter 6. What it was actually saying would not have been lost on Solomon's son like I believe it's lost on us in our day and our culture. When he told his son that you're to treat your parents' words like a lamp to guide your path, or you're to tie them around your neck like a necklace, an adornment, or when you're to write them on your heart, when they're supposed to be constantly speaking to you when you get up and when you go to bed and all during the day and through the night, that these reproofs for discipline are to be the way of your life. When Solomon is saying all those things about his parents' words, it wouldn't have been lost on him. Wait a minute. That sounds like God's word. God's word is supposed to be a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's word is supposed to be around my neck. God's word is supposed to be written on my heart. Precisely. You're to have such a reverence for your parents' word that unless it's absolutely clear in your mind they are speaking to you something that's contrary to the word of God, that you receive it as His word. Your parents are God's officers, His representatives to you. They carry the weightiness of His word as they instruct you. There's no child here this morning who should not listen attentively to their parents' words. If you think you have the right to argue with your parents' words and commands, let me ask you, do you really have the right to argue with God's word? Do you have that right? Then neither do you have the other. You might not understand your parents' words. Especially as our children grow older, there needs to be a place for helping them to understand and explaining things to them and reasoning with them and showing them. God does that in His Word with us as well. Explaining why it's to our advantage that we listen to Him and to obey. And certainly as parents, we need to be gentle in helping our children with this. But there is to be this quick response, this willing response at the command of our parents' children. And then let's this morning recognize what I'm going to call here the growing nature of this commandment. The growing nature of this commandment. This isn't just for the preteenager. It is for all of us. And I want to show three ways in which that is so this morning. First, honoring deepens in importance as you grow older. Honoring deepens in importance as you grow older. There's another place where we see the fifth commandment applied in the New Testament. It's over in Matthew chapter 15 as Jesus applies this commandment to very adult Pharisees. They were accusing at this point of Jesus' life, they were accusing Him of breaking the commandments, or at least their tradition, that their elders had prescribed for the proper way of washing your hands before you ate. This ritual ceremony that these Pharisees, their elders, had come up with as the proper way to eat a meal as a Jewish person. And as these Pharisees watched Jesus and His disciples, they were saying to Him, look, your disciples aren't washing their hands like they're supposed to be doing. Jesus is being accused of not honoring authority. How does He respond? He says this to them. God said, honor your father and mother. And he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. And then He says to them, you think that by giving gifts to the temple, that that's more important than your teaching, than taking those monies and caring for your aging parents. And pointing this out to them, Jesus was showing them that they were violating this commandment. At the very basic place they should have learned it, at their parents' feet, they weren't honoring as adults their aging parents. As you grow older, the force of this commandment grows with you. Children, as you reach young adulthood, what God would have you see this morning is that you're to understand more and more all that your parents have done for you. Other cultures are better at this than we are. We live in this youth generation where we admire youth and we exalt youth. All you got to do is turn on the TV to see that. And we don't admire the aged. You go to an African culture or an Asian culture, and yeah, they go too far perhaps by worshiping their ancestors. But if you see the respect and the honor by which they uphold their parents, even the non-Christians, some of these non-Christian cultures exhibit it better than often we do in the West. The reverence they show for their parents and the elderly is admirable, and so it should be with us. Another way that we can see the growing nature of this commandment is that parents are to increasingly move, and I'm talking about in your life, from enforcers to counselors. In other words, children, the older you get, the more you should see your parent as a counselor and the less as an enforcer. So I'm making you do what's right, rather than perhaps offering guidance as to what that may be. When children are young, they need, and the parents must provide, constant correction. And children are to obey this correction. But as you grow older and mature, children, The way in which you fulfill this command should mature. Rather than seeing your parents so much as a police officer, as you get older, you should see them more and more as a wise judge. Someone that you can go to and get the counsel and the guidance that you need as you begin to make decisions for your own life. That's why the author to the Proverbs says, "My son, keep my words and treasure my commandments within you. Let them guide you." See your parents as a place of receiving counsel. And then thirdly, another way we can recognize the growing nature of this commandment is to see that care for aging parents is not role reversal, but it's a privilege. We hear that a lot, don't we? Our parents age and perhaps become more and more dependent upon us to take care of them. Some adult children talk about role reversal. I'm caring for my mother, I'm caring for my father like he or she is a child. But I think rather than seeing that as just role reversal, we need to recognize the privilege of service that God is bestowing upon us. Maybe we could take a lesson here from the stork. You ever wondered why it is that the stork is always pictured as the deliverer of babies, where it carries that bundle in its beak and delivers babies to it? Well, I guess it comes from the thought that storks take care of their young so well. Matter of fact, they tell us that storks will continue to take care of their young even when the young are virtually, in many ways, able to take care of themselves. They'll travel together, fly around together, and still provide feeding. And there has been some studies, some observations, where if the parent stork becomes injured, there's even been cases where then the younger stork will take care of the older one. This prolonged association has even been put into law in the ancient Greek world. There was a law about taking care of one's parents, and it was called the Pelargonia. The Pelargonia. It comes from the Greek word for stork, pelargos. And so even this ancient law talked about taking care of your parents like the offspring of a stork would for its own. And that becomes a responsibility and indeed a privilege that God bestows upon us. It can be difficult to see that as a privilege. You don't know how hard it is for me to say those words. Feeling conviction as I prepared and even as I preach. It's a rough night last night. Let's look at the blessing of this commandment. Receive the surprising blessing of this commandment. I want to offer three reasons why this is a surprise. Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. I want you to look at the importance of this blessing. We're told in verse 2 that this is the first commandment with a promise. Now we might question this, and with good reason. It's the fifth commandment in the Ten. And we know there are ones that come prior to it in the listing of the Ten Commandments that give us promises. For instance, the second commandment says that if we'll forsake idolatry, that God will bless to 1,000 generations of those who love Him and keep His commandments. So how can this be the first commandment with a promise? Let's listen to Hendrickson here just a moment. When a scribe asked Jesus which commandment is first of all, he did not mean which commandment is mentioned first, But which is first in importance? Which is first in importance? And so Jesus states, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and strength. That's the greatest commandment. That's the first commandment, truly. Is it not? And since the original here in verse 2 could be translated this way, a commandment first with promise, we can really understand it, that it's a commandment of first rank importance because of this promise. It's a first rank importance. This is extraordinary and significant to us because we don't think this way. Why I'm calling this a surprising blessing is because children often do not, especially in this culture, in this generation, do not equate obedience to their parents with success in life. You want to be successful. You want to be prosperous. You want to find God's calling. You want to know what to do with your life. You want to see God's hand of blessing. Obey your parents. Honor them. That's what God is teaching. And how often I've seen it again and again. You stray away, and the pain and the difficulty and the hurt come. But those who follow in the path of their parents are blessed. That's what God is saying. If you do not obey this commandment, you do so to your own hurt. Obey, live, and be blessed. The importance of this blessing. Notice also the foundation for this blessing. This is another reason why it's so surprising. The foundation. I want you to notice that in verse 3, if you're looking at the New American Standard or another version that will capitalize the Old Testament, notice that verse 3 is capitalized so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. That means this is a quote from the Old Testament. Notice that Paul is taking this Old Testament commandment with its accompanying blessing, and he's applying it in the New Testament age. When Moses had given this commandment to Israel, it had read, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you, so that you may live long, Israel, in the land of promise. Notice how this expands now into the age of the church. And he says that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Wherever the church is, wherever God's people are, wherever there are people that are living together in holy families seeking the Lord, God says you're going to be blessed. You will see blessing there on the earth where that is taking place. In Christ, all the promises of God, all the ones that He made in the Old Testament, to Abraham and to his descendants have become yes, and they've been expanded. And that's another surprising aspect regarding this. Is that though we're Gentiles, and that we're not Israel, we can take those promises in the Old Covenant, and in Christ Jesus, they have become ours. He took the curse away at the cross. And He has been raised up and seated in heaven that He might bless His people, as our deacon prayed, with every spiritual blessing, with every blessing that His gracious hand can give. And I want you to think also about the extent then of this blessing. We've seen its importance, its foundation. Now think about its extent. There is so much family breakdown today. There's so much abortion today. There's so much grotesque violence out there. And pornography. And all the other social ills. Because the family has been so destroyed. Because parents have not understood the great blessing these children are in their lives and instructed them in the way of the Lord, and the children are not walking in this way and in this manner. that God has told us to train them. We are seeing the curse, the lewdness, the rudeness, the crudeness, and the tattooedness. It's all a picture of the curse because we have forsaken this commandment. And as the people of God, we must live so to show the world, to show this community, that God blesses His people when they follow Him. Children, you are to be the fruit of that. And there have been many times where people have been around this congregation and they've commented on the young people. We are having a growing ministry in this community. In one part, through the academy. Because other families are coming here and they're observing the classes and the superior training that parents have put into the lives of their children as they've grown up so that they can entrust them to us for an hour or two or so on in a week. And they see the respect and the love and the fellowship and the demeanor. And others are saying, we want that for our children as well. I just had someone call me today, or this week, I should say. They said to me, they were here for a while. It's not like it out there, like it is at Sycamore. The children aren't like the children at Sycamore. It's nothing to get a big head about. That's everything to give God praise for. And to make sure that we work all the harder, both young and old, at fulfilling this command. Young people, I want to just leave you with this morning. You do not know. You can't know how much you are loved until you become a parent. You just can't understand the love that God puts in a mom and a dad's heart for you. And I want you to know that there is nothing that gives a mom or dad in this world greater pleasure than to hear from you. To hear respect from you. To hear a willingness in your heart. Or as you get older, just to hear from you. And I want you, because I know this isn't easy for you to hear, for a lot of you, perhaps. But I want you to think about what God's Word said to you this morning. God has been telling you that you need to be more eager to hear from your parents than from a friend, from a cell phone, from a Facebook, or from whatever else it is I don't know about yet that you're listening to. You are to have that eager heart to hear from your parents. And God's promise says, if so, you will